wanted to speak this morning about receiving the Holy Spirit as a child. Now, we're all filled with the Spirit. Maybe some of us are seeking God about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we certainly recommend it. But the point of our receiving anything from God, we have got to learn to have this childlike faith. And as I've been seeking God over this week, I found myself coming back again to having this simple childlike faith. You know, we've been speaking over the past few weeks, haven't we, about this rest that we have by faith. How that the powers of darkness try to complicate, try to tamper with the mind, infiltrate the mind, complicate what God has said, what He has promised, cause us to doubt His love, His faithfulness, all these things. That is primarily how Satan always attacks. Very often he's attacking your faith, really, because he's saying, well, has God really said? You know, the way he works doesn't change. He tried it with Eve, Adam, and he tries it with us. The point is, are we going to listen? That is the question. Because a child will not often listen to these things. A child will often go back, if it's confused, and ask its parents for that security, for that peace of mind. Your children tend to do that. That is their simple childlike faith. They are learning from their parents. And this is precisely what God wants us to do of Him. Now, turn with me first, if you will, to Mark chapter 10, verses 13 and 16, which you know very, very well. But we're going to look at this morning. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through to 16. 13 through to 16. And here is a lovely analogy. Here we see the Father's heart through Jesus blessing the children. And they brought young children to Him, that He should touch them. And His disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, He was much displeased and said unto them, permit the little children to come unto Me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say to you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter into it. Now, there are two points here that we need to look at. The first is a childlike faith to believe. And the second point is, in that you will receive, you will enter the kingdom of heaven. Those who do not receive this in that child, simplistic way will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now that's serious. And Jesus is pointing something very profound out here, because at the moment the disciples don't see it. They see them as a hindrance. They see them hindering the ministry, what Jesus wants to do, or Jesus is about to minister or say something profound, and along come the children. Oh, get them out the way. You know, that's human nature, human thinking. Jesus said, don't stop them. I'm going to tell you something. Have a look at them. They've come to Me. They've come to be blessed. That is how you enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so those around, including the disciples, again, you can just see it, mouths open wide. God has a way of silencing those around Him. And it is important that we know that we have entered into the kingdom of heaven. And that is why we've got to become childlike again. And that is why Jesus said, to be born again, you must be born again. A child, a babe, to enter in that second time. And do you know the powers of darkness will rob you of that experience? That is why it grieved the Father's heart when man fell, because his mind and heart was opened to the powers and suggestions of Satan that he lost that simple, childlike trust and belief in God. That is what grieved the Father's heart. That is what he didn't want us to experience. Do you see that? And so God is restoring this now back to us. And this is why you were weaned when you came into the Deeper Life teaching. God started to work with you first with faith. A faith to come back to believe as you look to the Word of God, to receive that Word and to know and experience that God is faithful. And of course the enemy has attacked over the years with regard to the faith teaching, the faith message, has he not? But that is why we received it, in order for God to start to do that work. And so we need to become childlike again. Turn with me also, if you will, to Matthew 11:25. Matthew 11:25. And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. What a wonderful thing. God says that he reveals them to babes. Children, childlike faith. God doesn't reveal it to the proud, to the wise, those who think they've got their act together. He says he reveals it to the simple, to those who come with a simple, childlike faith, simply believing. And Satan tries to rob you from that simplistic way of believing, trusting. He's even trying to do it this morning. This is what he tries to do. And he will give all sorts of suggestions. Well, you've heard this before. You heard this message 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Hasn't changed much, has it? Well, if it's coming up again, there's a good reason for it. You probably didn't hear it properly the first time. That's why. And so we need to ever keep that knee bowed. Because logic, mind, will always try and work it out. You see? Satan all the while is trying to hinder that seed from going into our hearts. And he will hold all forms of prejudice, all forms of confusion, whatever, and he will keep them in your mind. He'll keep them there. So it hinders you from hearing that engrafted word deep into our heart and spirit. For faith comes by hearing, reading the Word of God. And we take that simply as a child. Just believe it. I've come here this morning, I'm not even trying to work it out, I don't even know why, when, how, what, or whatever, but this word that comes out, I've settled it, Lord, I choose to believe it as a child. And you will bless the rest. What a blessing. See, that is our rest of faith. That's what causes us to rest in him. And we're told that the wise, the proud, they can't receive the word. They receive it intellectually. They receive it in a religious way. But they cannot receive it in a heart that changes. That where God works within that heart. You see, there is the difference. Faith never comes from the mind, the intellect. You cannot release a faith that God will respond to and answer to in a religious way, in an intellectual and proud way. That's why it doesn't work. Faith is birthed, faith is received in the heart, in the spirit of man. Jesus said, from your innermost being shall flow those rivers of living water. That faith to believe, that faith to operate in a gift or whatever, comes by the Spirit, by the anointing, by the inner man. It doesn't come by the mind. No way. That is why these early Pentecostals knew something about the power of the Holy Spirit. They knew how to wait on God. They knew where the source came from. Today we're utterly confused in Christendom because there's so much of the mind now being attacked. And what is the cause of it? Pride, arrogance, religion. And God says, I resist that. I resist it. That is why he's warned in Matthew 7. Many will say in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied? Have we not called upon your name? Have we not done this, that, or whatever? But Jesus says, I never knew you. Why? Because you never knew the real source. You never really knew that it is from the innermost being that flows those rivers of living water. You were in control. You were planning it, organizing it, controlling it. That is the point. See? A child totally lets go. It's completely, utterly dependent upon the parents. Turn with me also, if you will, to Matthew 16, verse 17. Matthew 16 and verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. Why did Jesus begin to rejoice with that? Because he was now beginning to see, by the way he ministered, he operated, the way he received his revelation, now was begun to be seen with his disciples. That is why he rejoiced, because he said, Simon, Bar-Jonah, you are now receiving the way I receive. I do only that which the Father reveals. I only say that which he gives. I only do that which he shows me. And he said, you are picking it up. And he rejoiced. He was rejoiced at that. And not only that, but what was revealed. The foundation on which the church was going to be built. What a revelation. Because flesh and blood could not reveal this. And that is the point, you see. Let's couple that also with 1 Corinthians chapter 1. All these I know you know very well. But God is still speaking to us in this church. And all the while he's still speaking, there is room for change and improvement, healing, deliverance, change of heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26, 27. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and the things which are despised has God chosen. Yea, things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are. Are there some things that offend you? Are there some people that you prefer not to be near or certainly not sitting with? Well, God says, I've probably chosen them. Are you offended? Yes, we still are, aren't we? We still get offended that God can choose the base, the foolish, the ridiculous, those that you wouldn't even look at twice. God says, they're the ones. They're the ones. My word. It is God's ordination. It is God's decree. It is how God has decreed this And you can holler and scream and shout, you can be offended, you can go through all the emotions, but you will never change God. And I think it's best that we move with Him. Because as we move with Him, we're going to begin to see those things that we're believing for. You see, the enemy has worked pretty hard, hasn't he? We're now living in the most affluent age and generation. Even now, the Far East, their economy is beginning to boom. What once used to be third world countries, now the tide is changing. Money everywhere. Commerce, business. I said to you last week, I was talking to businessmen and they said to me, it's easier now to make money than it ever has been over the last 10 years. If you want to get rich, if you really want to, you really work at it, you've got a bit up here, you can do it. And they're right. They're right. This is all the powers of darkness at work. Because as nations get rich, as people get rich, what does it do? It elevates the pride. That independent spirit. What need do you have of God? None whatsoever. But God says the base, the foolish, the despised, the rejected, I won't let that happen to them. And so more as the world becomes affluent, so those that God has chosen will become more offensive. Can you see how Satan's doing it? How subtle? And we have to watch it. We have to watch it when we've been blessed. God wants to bless us. But we're not blessed the way of the world. It is God who brings that blessing to us. We're not going out striving for it. There's the difference, you see. As he said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. You don't have to strive to be blessed and wealthy. That is the point. That is the difference. And that is a principle I always follow with God in everything. It is God establishing it. It is God confirming it. It is God bringing it, and so forth. That is the principle, you see. So, this is how we are to receive like a child. With that simple, childlike faith. God has ordained this, and there is no way you're going to change it. Psalm 8, verse 2. Psalm 8, verse 2 says, out of the mouths of babes, sucklings, hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou might still the enemy and the avenger. So why does God wish us to have this simple, childlike faith, trust? Well, Psalm 8, verse 2 tells us. He says, out of the mouths I've ordained that strength. Out of their mouths I will fill their mouths. I will give them my word, my promises. That's what it means. So out of their mouth, I've ordained strength. For what purpose? Because of my enemies. That is why you need to have a childlike, simple faith. Because Satan goes around like a roaring lion. And God has ordained that for that very purpose. That a childlike, simple faith will bring down the powers of darkness. Isn't that tremendous? That has to be God. And still the enemy and the avenger. That is how he's going to be still. That is how Satan's going to be overcome in the last day. By a church being raised up with a very simple, childlike faith, just simply trusting God. How foolish in the natural. Isn't it? Ridiculous. But God says, that is what I have ordained. So why does the wise man then have difficulty? I'll tell you why the wise man, the proud man, has difficulty. Because he wishes to know the end result of faith. And God ain't going to give you that. That's why you have problems. That's why the proud, the wise have problems. Because they receive the faith, but they want to know the end result. And so they want to know the end result. They plan and scheme and control. Hence your denominationalism. Denominationalism, which is a curse to the true Church of Jesus Christ. You mark my words. The reason it is like that, because they want to know the end result of their faith and be in control. And you can't. That is the complete opposite to that childlike, simplistic faith, you see. He also wishes to control the Holy Spirit. He wishes to control the God-ordained ministry. Wishes to control the gifts, the prophecies, the gifts, you name it. That's why shepherdship is such a problem in this country. Because man wants to know the end result of his faith. He wants to know, well, if I'm going to believe and I'm putting my trust in this, I want to have a bit of a foretaste of what the end's going to be like. And God says, oh no, you ain't. Like Abraham, you walk out into an unknown land. And you walk out in obedience. Do you know that a step of faith with a childlike faith, not wanting to know the end result, is a sign of obedience? That's what God looks for. God doesn't want you saying, yeah, Lord, well, if I step out, you will bless me at the end, won't you? You won't let me down. And you will, you know, I want to know just a little bit. No. If your mind is getting in the way, do not step out in faith. You've missed it. Or it's not ready. God's still having to deal with pride, wisdom in your life. That earthly, sensual wisdom I'm talking about. So you see, we have to examine ourselves, as Corinthians tells us, whether we are in the faith. And that examination is, what is my mind doing? What is my emotions doing? What am I thinking? What's happening? Here I am. There's a promise. God's working. There's a promise in God's word. Yes, I have need of that in my life. What is my reaction? What is my stand before God? You see? That's the point. We have to be honest in that way. We have to look at ourselves. Am I wavering? Am I analysing? Am I intellectually working it out? You see, a babe, a child without faith will not do that. Will not do that. Or maybe we should come before the Lord and say, Father, I see your promises there. But Lord, in your mercy, teach and show me and help me that when I appropriate those promises, that it is appropriated by that childlike, simple faith. If not, and you know all things, then lead me to that position. Lead me to that place where I'm ready. Is God going to turn somebody down who seeks him like that? I don't think so. That is the wisdom he looks for. Oh, I've claimed it in Jesus' name. I've got it. Right, let's move out and everything. It doesn't work. And it hasn't worked in your life. You see? God knows all things. No, you will never know the end result of faith. Actually, it wouldn't be faith, and it's as simple as that. And that's why we walk by faith and not by sight. Each day, the moment you wake up, you are walking this day by faith, trusting God. You see, the nearer you get to God, the less your mind becomes interactive, trying to work out. Why? Because you're putting on the mind of Christ. And as you put on the mind of Christ, that becomes more active. And not your mind, your thinking, your working out, your planning, your scheming. That is the point. So it comes right back to relationship. It comes right back to the point that you walk this day close with Christ. And as you walk with him in fellowship, relationship, you're putting on his mind. You're taking on his mind, his thinking, what he's saying. You see, this is how Jesus walked. He said, I only say, do reveal those things that the Father shows me. He rejoiced because Peter began to see this. He said, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you. We're still too often receiving flesh and blood, the intellect, the mind, the fears, the unbelief. We've got to put on that mind, the mind of Christ, where nothing is impossible. Whatever mountain is in front of you has been removed in Jesus' name. When you put on the mind of Christ, you know that the battle has already been won. You walk in that victory, you see. That is what he's trying to work with us. A child isn't going to question that. You see, that is the point. Whatever need, whatever even is in this room here today, if you have that childlike, simplistic faith, God has met that in Jesus' name. Why do we doubt? Because things get a bit rough, or the enemy's got a bit vocal, or whatever it is. We will break through in this, friends. We stay with this. We will, because the mind of Christ is so going to take over that there'll be no room for that old carnal intellectualism. And you'll know when it's trying to attack. You'll know when it's trying to get in. Because the more you're experiencing the mind of Christ, the more you're going to say, get out. Don't want it. Don't want it. That's what God's doing with you. He's working in you so that you're coming up with that hate, that tenacity. Get out in Jesus' name. Working in you to will and do for his good pleasure. That's what he's doing. He's working a hate in your heart for sin, for disobedience, rebellion. He's working that in your heart. He's working it right now. So the more you're going over to this, the more you're hating it, the more you're putting on the mind of Christ, and the more you will receive by the Spirit and not by flesh and blood. You see? Wonderful what we're entering into. Little wonder the powers of darkness are trying to stop all this. And this is where the gifts are going to flow from this. Because they're not flowing from the carnal, from the religious, you see. And we've got to remember this also, and I want to encourage you at this point, because we talk much about the gifts that God set in the church. But a lot of those gifts are going to come in operation when you're in the right place at the right time with the right people in the right situation. They're not always needed necessarily here today. But they might be needed next week when God takes you somewhere into a situation. Then those gifts that are needed for that start to come into operation. But potentially you can have the whole nine. There is no reason, if you've got the mind of Christ, for it. I've got the mind for it. What about you? No, the nearer you get to God, the less your mind becomes consumed with the things of this world, but is putting on the mind of Christ. That is why we have put it on, and we are putting it on. That's how it reads. You are saved, you are being saved, you see. So as we stay with it, endure, God will work it in us. Hallelujah. You see, the natural man, he can never receive the things of the Spirit. And Paul was absolutely clear about this. I just want to go back and look at something in 1 Corinthians. Yes, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14. He says, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So he says quite clearly that the natural man, the religious man, he cannot receive the things by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because in his mind he will regard it as foolish. Why is it foolish? Because God works, chooses people in ways past finding out. And to man that is foolish. And not only that, but he says he cannot even spiritually discern. So not only can he understand, but he can't even discern. Some could not discern this teaching this morning. As much as they will intellectually try to analyze and work it out, they will never discern it. Now, what does it mean to discern? It means that you discern the spirit. You test the spirit of a thing. That's what it means. And you have people who can't test the spirit. They don't know what is the Holy Spirit and what is just carnal man or of the devil. There are three sources of discernment. They're not discerning. So why? What is the problem? It is the carnal. It is the mind. That is the problem. And that is why we're to walk in the Spirit. And to walk in the Spirit, God introduces the cross. The cross is the key to this. It is that death to the flesh, the carnal, that disposes one to walk in the Spirit. The realm of the Spirit. The overcomers are to walk in the realm of the Spirit that the church, the early church, has not fully walked into. That is the latter rain promise. There is a consecration, a walk of the Spirit that God has purposed for the Christian church that she should finally, in the last days, walk in. She hasn't yet, but is moving toward it. Even the early church did not walk fully in that consecration in the Spirit that is prepared for the last day for the overcomers. Now, that seems impossible in the natural, doesn't it? If we're to compare the early church and things that happened, even their shadows were healing people and so forth, and they were renowned for turning the world upside down. You know, you can't. Now, don't try and work it out intellectually. You will never get your mind round it. The carnal will never do it. But a child of God, a simple child faith will say, don't understand it, but praise God, I believe it, and I, by his grace, am entering into it. Amen. And that's all you say. I don't know the rest. God is revealing, yes, don't get me wrong. But how it's actually going to be done, I haven't a clue. God hasn't revealed it to me yet. All he wants of us and me is simply to believe. That childlike faith. Because God has done nothing over the years but confirm and confirm and confirm this. And I believe if God loves us enough, he would have told us if this was wrong. But I ain't heard that. And so here we are, carrying on. Listening to the same message after 10, 20, 30 years. The call to overcome the deeper life. Some stay with it and some let it go. And those that let it go never heard it in the first place. They only heard it intellectually, emotionally, through pride. But the humble, the base, the foolish, those who desire to have a knee bowed in the presence of God, God says, they're the ones I will reveal it to. And so God is revealing step by step by step the unfolding plan for the last days that we live in. For the church is indeed to rise up in her final battle against the powers of darkness. And she is going to overcome. She has the victory. She is going to put down the powers of darkness. How? By simply believing with a childlike faith. How foolish. Ridiculous. But that is what God has ordained. And he is sovereign. And he knows what he's doing. So what is the difference then? When I'm speaking about the natural man that cannot receive the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. So what is the difference between a man and being childlike? Well, Jesus said that to enter the kingdom of God, we must be born again. So he takes us right back to infancy, right back to birth. And you never, ever lose that simple, childlike faith when you were born again. That belief that day that you confessed and received the Lord Jesus Christ is still the same simple faith today, now. It doesn't change. That faith I'm on about. That believing. Yes, we are growing in the Spirit. Yes, God is giving us wisdom, knowledge, understanding. But that simple faith to appropriate is the same that when you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ for that forgiveness. That does not change. Believe me, it doesn't. You see, let's look at the analogy between a grown, mature adult and a babe. A man, woman, when they drink, they will drink maybe cautiously. I use the word cautiously in the sense of not being cautious about whether your drink has been spiced or poisoned, although that can go on today. But we choose what we want to drink. We've all got different tastes, what we like. Some like this, some like that, and everything. Take about a baby then. A baby has just one thing: milk. How about when we drink? Well, we drink to how we feel. You know, maybe we haven't got such a thirst. Well, today we've certainly got a thirst. You feed a baby just keeps swallowing. Swallows, swallows. And very often, the mother has to say, well, I think that's enough now. And of course, she will then, you know, nurse the baby and dewind it and so forth. Because that child doesn't know, just will swallow. That's the nature. It swallows, it sucks. That's the whole nature of a baby, a newborn baby. But you don't do that now, you see. So there's the difference as to how we can receive the Spirit. Receive the word of God. Some are a bit cautious. Some are a bit finickety. You know, some. Then you've got others who, like babes, are just swallowing, just taking it in. You know, digesting it. That is it. Brother Freeman gave an analogy of that, didn't he? Of a container. He said some have come here today. Some have got a thimble. Some have got a bucket, and some have got several buckets so big they can hardly pull them in here to be filled. I remember that sermon again. There's the principle. You can receive as much as you want. And a child, a baby, doesn't even work it out. Just keeps swallowing and swallowing and taking it in. You see? Now again, I know the mind is trying to get in the way, isn't it? The mind's trying to analyze, trying to work it out. There's our battle, you see. There's our battle. Well, just believe it. Just believe God's going to work that in you. If it's not in you, well, praise God, you've got a chance to change. That's why we have the Word of God. But a child isn't going to work that out. You see, a baby can't talk. Well, it can make a few sounds, gurgly sounds, and certainly cry and let you know when it wants to be fed, but fundamentally it can't talk. And when we get before God, and God is speaking to us, let's stop talking and let's start listening. You see, that is the point. That is the point. And you can say all sorts of things to your baby because it'll never answer back. You see? And a baby can't walk. It is totally dependent, held by the mother or the father. There's the support. Can't walk. You can walk, or you can choose to put yourself totally in the arms of your Heavenly Father. You can decide. You can decide. See? There's your choice. God didn't want you to have that choice. I'm giving you choices this morning. That's what God never wanted us to have when man fell. He didn't want you to think about you could walk and be independent of God, or you can be like a babe in His arms. He just simply created you to believe for that. And the tragedy was, man's eyes were open that he could walk independently of God. He had a choice. Wasn't Satan clever, eh? Well, praise God, he's restoring us back. Hallelujah. A baby can't really hold anything. It might grasp your finger, which is amazing, a newborn babe. That's often one of the major tests that they try with a child, an infant, as soon as it's born. They'll put the finger there, and immediately a normal child will grip quite tight the finger. That's one of the major tests to test a child. See? We have a choice to either hold or let go. Can? You've got the choice. But a child believes the father, doesn't even think about a choice. I hold on. I'm his. I'm his. And so there's the analogy, you see. There's the difference. God does it through us. And that is what he's doing. If you want it, he will do it. And it's as simple as that. And this is why we're going to see in the last days the bride that comes forth that makes herself ready. Because she's believed for it. She wants it. She's prepared to go all the way for it. She has that simple childlike faith for it. It's as simple as that. And that is why God will exalt her in that day. Some 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. The outer court, the inner court, the holies of holies. God's presenting it. It's what you want at the end of the day. And I don't believe that you'll ever be able to accuse God, certainly if you're part of this church, Lord, I never was given the message to go for 100-fold blessing. I believe we're giving it. I believe God's graciously in his mercy presenting it to us if we want it. I do. And if we're not preaching it or not seeing it, and others are, then I'm going to latch on to that for anything that is 100-fold. And that's why you've got to be born again, filled with the Spirit, that simple childlike faith. Do we lose our intelligence or common sense or reason because we become children? No, of course we don't. 1 Corinthians 14:20. 1 Corinthians 14:20. Brethren, be not children in understanding, however, in malice, be children, but in understanding, be men. There you are. Receive it as a child, but understand it as an adult. You see? So I'm teaching you about a child, what a child is, how a child is totally dependent upon its parents. But you as adults with a mind are assimilating that, understanding that, and applying it to yourself, to the age that you are. That's all it is. Simple as that. Don't change it to what it is. You see, in the spirit and belief, we are to be babes, and this is where we receive the revelation of God and his love. And reason, understanding, teaches that. That which I receive as a babe, as a child, I preach that. I teach that as the Spirit leads and guides me. And of course, that's where I need wisdom, knowledge, understanding, how I give out that teaching, that message. But in my faith, in my belief, I am that simple child. Infant, simply believe. And I don't want to question, I don't want to analyze, I don't want to question my father, what he says. I simply choose to believe. And if I choose to believe and I've got that right, then the obedience, the grace follows. Some of you still can't obey because you still yet can't really believe. The question. There's still that questioning, going on. And God is trying to rid all of us in this church of this. Because you're saying to yourself, I just don't obey. There's still this rebellion in me rises up and so forth. I know, I've done it. And I tell you the root of the problem is we still don't have that simple childlike faith and trust to believe. Because if you do, then the grace is there, the faith is there, the blessing is there, the obedience is there. It says that Abraham stepped out in faith, obedience, believed. The point is, what we tend to forget is, Abraham simply chose to believe. Something in him just said, I believe. And on that, God will honour that. Always does. And so everything was there then to move out, the obedience. You can't obey in yourself. It's not in man. The obedience comes by that simple childlike belief, settling it, not questioning it. Then the rest follows. See? Only God can do that. He knows. Hallelujah. And finally, it's our rest. And I'm not going too much into that because that's on tape. I spoke about that the other week. But all of this is your rest at the end of the day. Finally, Psalm 131, verse 2. Psalm 131, verse 2. Surely I have behaved and quieted my soul like a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even like a weaned child. That was what God wanted for Israel to grow in grace, to mature in grace. He said, I want you as a nation to be like a child. Just believe that you're weaned by from your mother's breast. Just trust me. Believe me. See? But Israel wouldn't have none of it. She would have none of it. Why? Because she wanted to be in control. She wanted to analyze. She wanted to know the end result before stepping out in faith. And that's what religious man always wants to do. And say, I believe on one condition that I have a foretaste of what the end will be. And God says, I'm sorry, that is not faith, that is not trust. And God is delivering you and me from that. Do you believe it? I do, because I believe he loves us enough. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, again, you have richly blessed us. You have answered some of our deep problems, or maybe questions, things that we don't quite understand. Lord, it's coming right back to the basics. It's coming right back simply trusting, just believing. Don't know any more, don't understand any more. I just simply trust and believe God. And Lord, as a result of that, you will bless. You will honour. You will speak. You will reveal yourself. Faith will know how to move forward. Faith will know how to act. Faith will have that obedience, Lord. But Father, you are delivering us in our mind, in our hearts. And we're putting on the mind of Christ. And we thank you, Father, for this. And Lord, we have a myriad of promises. Things that have been confirmed over and over and over again over the years, even over the centuries. Lord, it's not up to us to question. It's just simply up to us to believe. That simple childlike faith. And Father, I thank you for this. I thank you for the blessing, the fruit, the peace, the healing, deliverance that will come as a result of this teaching. Thank you, Father, for this. In Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' name.